Here's a dumb joke. It was a little more shy probably a week ago, but I'm still going to say it because you can't help but make some sort of reference to the situation we've been in for the last 2 months. But this will not be the theme of what I'm going to talk about, I promise you. At least not the regular way. Probably at this point, everybody's wishing they could be a little more homeless. And especially people with kids in the house. Or you wish you could be home, but the kids could be out, as it were. I'm going to start now. I'm pretty sure everybody's also had their fill of deep insights into the situation. About up to here? Not that I'm belittling that. There's many chidushim that could come out. And everybody, including yourself, is telling you what to do or not to do. The simple truth is what you should do is what you should have always been doing. It's just that Hashem has made it easier. It's not about you. It's about Hashem in the world. And therefore, it is about you. He so loves you and wants you to succeed. In the Drush of the Orach Chaim, at the end of Volume 1 of the Mishnayos, he says a man is always hovering between life and death, and even if you feel completely healthy, all our lives have changed. But that's not sufficient. What the theme of this is, what did you change? If you had the feeling during the past time of unsureness and of what's coming next, Boker Tov, that's always been and is the situation. You don't know what the heck's coming next, ever, even in a normal situation. We choose not to think about it. It's a choice. We choose the state of unconsciousness, but that's where we should be. That Drush Orach Chaim, it pays to read it if none of you have ever learned it. It's about 8 pages long, and it's in the back of the Mishnayos. But we are constantly hovering between life and death. But before you get nervous and feel like it's too burdensome or difficult, I don't want to inspire you. I want to encourage you. Hashem has placed your life and death close by l'hashgacha secha, so you can begin to have hashgacha on your own thoughts and actions in a very special situation. Life and death, this is from the Drush Orach Chaim, do not exist at the extremes of your life. Born, live, die. And you think about those as the two edges. They are part of every second of your life. You hover between them. Part of the consciousness is when you get that more exquisite live feeling of, I'm alive, but anything can happen, is right away, what am I? Who am I, and why am I? The hiddenness of Hashem's ways is to preserve your best gift, the absolute freedom of your free choice. Not only as some test of your amuna and bitachon, which you could look at it that way, but even more important, it's to opportunize your ability to literally become a self-made man, somewhat divine, because you are more conscious of your ability to make choices. Forget what choices you actually make, but that's your most divine quality. No other creature in the universe has this quality. It's a spark of divinity within you. So let's go for it and see what we can do. It won't and shouldn't feel like a burden. Mesilas Yesharim is the modern manual of how to put what we're about to talk about into practice, especially within the first two midos. Zehirus, awareness, is a call to be conscious. It's not about being pedantically careful and fussy and this and all into the nervousness of being Zahir. Rather, it's how to develop your consciousness and awareness. If you think of Hashem is always watching me, you're right. But that's not supposed to be a burden to you. It's for helping you to realize he's always right at hand to protect and to help you. This gets more right into the moment, which is where we want to be, which all a lot of the insights you heard about the situation is people got a little more awake because things were different. But even that tends to fade after weeks and weeks of it because you're starting to do your habits. Don't push him out of your mind and don't push him away. Everybody wants to kind of carve out their own little square inch. I'm in with you, Hashem, but I just need a little freedom over here. Hashem says, first of all, you do have the freedom, but don't push me away. It pays to have me around in your consciousness. And that would be plain stupid. Zerizus, if you look in Mesilas Yesharim, I'm not going to quote chapter and page. You can just open up the book and zip to the places where I'm going to. The examples of the Ramchal do not doing things with Zerizus. Do not refer to complex tasks that would normally be stretched over a long amount of time. There you would think you would want to be zealous and get it going because you have a lot to take care of. Like the building of the Mishkan was an example, the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Rather, they refer to acts that would have been accomplished relatively quickly. He brings the example of Avraham quickly meeting the guest, telling Sarah to run and go make this. He sends Yishmael to get the stuff from the cows. Those were all short-term tasks. Also Rivka, when she brought the water for Eliezer and for his camels. The Torah emphasizes that they were done with Zerizus. Thus we find that tzaddikim always act with Zerizus. This is a deep and important principle. Zerizus is not a means to an end, as we see by the short activities that they were still acting with Zerizus to. They anyhow would have gone quickly. Zerizus is not a means to an end, but a midah of great inherent value. It's a type of end in itself, but it's not only an end in itself. To the degree that you develop your Zerizus in this world, that will be the degree to which you will be able to understand the myriad facts and interconnections in the world to come. Everybody knows this Chazal. What's going to be the situation and the setup in the world to come? Where we will be sitting in concentric circles around and receive the pleasure, the Nenem Ziv Hashchina. The faster you are and the more you've developed your Zerizus, the more you'll be able to understand and connect all the facts of this creation across time and space. I will give you a more mundane example. You notice sometimes you're in a shiur, you're learning something. If you're not thinking fast enough, even though you have all the facts in front of you, if you don't make the connections a little bit quicker, the idea does not form. When you're in your best place of thinking and trying to generate thought, it's when you're doing it and you're able to contain and make connections more quickly. That's Zerizus. It's an inherent and best thing you could do. And don't forget, here's the most damning thing. My daughter asked me a great question when she was about 10 years old. It says, no one's chuppah in Olam Haba is like anybody else's. Chazal says, kol echad ve'echad will be burned by the other guy's chuppah, but not because he's jealous of what the other guy's position is. He'll realize he could have achieved it himself. And that will be damning. That's why it talks about in concentric circles. Not everybody's going to be sitting in the same position. You don't want a seat in the bleachers. There's stuff you're not going to see or hear. Not that it won't be available, but it'll be like a guy who went to a lot of loud rock concerts, and then years later, he also wants to go to the concert, but his hearing never, actually in this case, got damaged. In our example, we're saying he never developed it. So he's missing out on what's available for everybody sitting there. And therefore, what we find, the rule of Zrizus in particular is before the act, during the act, and after the act. Again, it's not being pedantic. It's saying that's how to develop almost a taiva for that midah. So you are completely with Zahiris and Zrizus together present. Consciousness of hovering between life and death will definitely get you to pick up a beat. That's part of the usefulness of this situation. Not all the interpretations of what's God doing in the world. The big guys can understand better that, because they're going to be able to make connections which we're not in a position for. But we ourselves are in a position to pick up a beat. A little bit more aware of being alive and how it's a little touchy. It won't feel like a burden, but rather a one-off unique opportunity. Don't miss out on it. To do it right, and to do it right now and with a lot of energy. Take advantage of the situation. All of those who are not photographers, you'll still get this point before all this more digital stuff. An old-time camera photograph started with a negative, and you had to place it in a solution, and it developed into a positive. This is not going to be a Musa Shmuz about taking the negative and looking at it positive. It's way better than that. It depends on how did you get the negative into that other state. You had to develop the picture. That's the focus. All the information was already contained in the negative. You've seen those old-time negatives, right? You can see it. You go, well, there's no, even when it was just black and white pictures. But it was like hard to look at because you couldn't quite process the information. You needed a more frontal type of manifestation of it. But all the information was already there. And you couldn't see it till you developed it. We have to learn how to develop the picture and see the information that's there. Now, old photographs were two-dimensional. This is special. This is a Zahavi Green special. We're going scientific right now. The old-time photographs are a photograph, two-dimensional. Holograms. I presume all of you have heard of those. I hope all of you have actually seen one. Their manifestation is, it's still like a flat picture, but it is taken with many laser lights from many different angles, and it appears three-dimensional. And you can kind of like tilt your head this way, and you see a slightly different thing in the picture. It is jam-packed with information. An interesting difference between an old-time photograph, just imagine, you have a photograph on the table, you take your scissors and cut off a snippet of the picture. Then you look at the snippet. All you can see is what's in the snippet. The magical thing about holograms are that all the information is contained in every point of the picture. So if you cut off a snippet of a hologram, you could see the entire picture again with just a minimal loss of three-dimensionality, depending on what part of the picture. But every point of the picture has all the information. While a hologram is contained that way, we realize that if we adjust our ability to develop the picture and see it, we will be packed with the information that we know. I'll give another example. Formula One drivers of those great cars. What? Formula One drivers don't drive fast.
Sorry, it was technical difficulties. Our speaker got unplugged.
Oh. Well, what's the last thing you heard? Oh, you can't talk now. All right. Formula One drivers don't drive fast. They are fast. Their developed ability to be sensitive to all the nuances in the operation of the car and the actual engineering of the car quickly allows them to almost be, in a certain sense, faster than the car. There's only one question here. No, this came out to exactly 20 minutes. I didn't time myself. You've been through a situation for the last couple of weeks. I'm not going to make a big deal about it because this applies every moment of your life. Your life changed. Life changed for people around you. It's a little bit different. The only one thing makes a difference. What did you change and what are you going to change? It's your free will and your resolve. There's still, when I say time, there's time till you die. But if you're feeling a little more exquisite lately, and you're feeling like, wow, this is really interesting, like I've never been through one of these things before, I'm glad. And I hope we don't have to go through it again. But forget about all the great straightforward muscle. This has been an incredible opportunity. None of us have ever experienced this. And look at Hashem's incredible timing. If this would have happened 15 years ago, there's no classes online. Nothing. Didn't exist. I mean, the technology was kind of already basically there, but not like this. Zoom. Flack. Slack. Bam. Boom. Here we are. It's really cool that this happened. Hashem's timing couldn't have been better. And I want to say it's your free will. And it depends on your resolve. Don't lose the opportunity. It has been exquisite. Grab it and get to it. It's not luck. Well, I hope I get in the right mood, you know. I'm done.
Thank you, Rav Zahavi. We have one question from the audience. The question
I thought
is,
I was the audience. I am part of you.
For the audience?
Yeah. I'm part of the audience also. I'm part of you. You're part of me.
So then,
okay, let's go.
This is your question.
Okay. I'm listening. I didn't hear yet. What is it?
The question is, you said earlier, don't be nervous or anxious about the situation. I guess the question really is how to avoid that anxiousness and nervousness given everything that's going on. And if we have to be so sensitive to what Hashem wants, then a mistake does get punished to some degree. How do you put all that together?
I missed the connection between being anxious about the situation and getting punished for what?
For anything that we do wrong as well.
What do you mean, in this particular situation or on an everyday basis?
I think I'm going to have to ask Yitzchak Goldbar to ask his question to you directly.
Go ahead.
I can't translate this one.
He submitted it to you?
He did. He's
okay.
Here. Try to describe it myself. Rabbi Daniel Rossman is pretty much explaining what I was asking. I mean, I came in the middle, but you said that it's not the goal. It's not what Hashem wants of us, that we're supposed to be anxious or nervous. about, but I took it to mean about what Hashem wants of us. So I'm talking about of us particularly. If somebody, you know, is supposed to be careful about what Hashem wants, or is supposed to be zahir, then how can you avoid that next concept of being so zahir, being so careful that you just become a nervous person about everything you do, everything you say?
The way I tried to transfer the idea, we're talking about zahiris now, carefulness, right?
That's right.
Okay. Now, when you're involved in an activity that you really like, you like to be right on top of the situation. It doesn't feel burdensome. I'm going to add in a second thing which sounds disjointed, but it's not. If you're going to be in a worried, nervous state, well, then you might as well be in that state, not because of this special situation. You're always just 1 second away from not being alive. The drush of the Orach Chaim, you are always hovering in that situation. That could serve to be a heightened state of consciousness. I don't know what kind of maybe sports activity or intellectual activity or some other activity that you really enjoy doing. I find just even solving an interesting puzzle puts me on top of my game, and I don't feel burdened by the as yet non-solution or what kind of effort I'm going to have to put into it. The thing itself opens up my consciousness. I find myself more awake and more alive. Anxiety can make you feel more alive without the negative. Leave the anxiety part out, because nothing's never in is never not that situation of here today, gone in a second. Relax. Hashem says, conduct yourself with menuchas hanefesh. I am right here, and the more you're right here, you can actually be open and not feel threatened by your non-knowledge, as your as yet non-knowledge. In fact, anxiety will close you off to being able to perceive what's going on. Cut it out. Relax. That's not just a stupid thing I'm saying. Try it. And I told you the best place to do it is an activity that you more or less enjoy. You don't get anxiety when you're doing something you kind of like doing. Transfer that. It's very human what we're talking about. It's not like from here and a light year away from here. It's right here, right in front of you. Hashem's not going to punish you like that. He's trying to help. He said, isn't this interesting what's going on? You go, yeah, I'm kind of bored of it now. It's been going on for too long. Don't get bored. And it's changing every day anyhow. Watch the ebb and flow of it. Change something. Not as a musar pula. Just for the sake of doing it. Say, I'm glad I got to live in this time. Let's see. What's even one small thing I can gain? In Bali Musar, we say, pick a small thing. Pick a small thing. You'll enjoy succeeding. Hashem likes when you get something done. And you'll like it even better. Nothing to add here.
Thank you, Rav Zahavi.
Thank you.
Yishikach, everyone. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rav Zahavi. Sorry for interrupting.
Yishikach, thank you.
Thank you.
All right.